This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by the Subaru of New England Final Chance Clearance. It's going on now.
Sister Christian, oh, the time has come. And you know that you're the only one to say, okay. Where you go and what you looking for? You know those boys don't wanna play no more with you. It's true.
Is that Foyer's walk-up song, Ken? I like it.
Yes.
Sister
Go.
Christian. Foyer.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Yeah! Let's go!
Ah. Nothing
right
like
the road.
Nothing like a little Night Ranger to get you going. Obscure reference on that song, Boogie Nights. Did you like Boogie Nights?
I did with Mark Wahlberg. Yep.
Well, joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, it is our colleague Christian Fourier from the afternoon show, and I have to give you some credit. You said it, and I think you said it first, although Nick was trying to take credit for it yesterday, but I think you said it first. You said that this Patriots team would be better without Tom Brady, and everybody
laughed. Well, I didn't say better. I said this back in June, and technically I guess we're saying something different. But whatever. I said they'd be better off without him.
Yeah.
You know, and there's the, you know, and then it went national. I'm a big international superstar now.
I think so.
Because people take our sound bites and they run with them.
Now,
and I was getting ripped for it. And now, like, everybody's, you know, leading their shows with it.
I mean, it remains to be seen, obviously, because we're only two games in. But you can certainly.
Yeah, but better off the season. But there's a difference. Like, with everything that was going on in June and all the debate, it was like, and what he wanted, and there, I had a whole explanation for it. In the end, hell, they're better off without him. Like, if this is the way it's going to be, if this is how difficult it's going to be, and he's at this stage of his life, and we're at this stage of our life, and, you know, we're probably better off without each other. You know, and that's the truth.
Right, but Christian,
ultimately the truth.
Christian, that only works when the guy that you replace him with is doing well, and you go, okay, we now have another guy that we can hitch our wagon to. And I think that's what Cam Newton has been able to do. So he's able to take our minds off of Tom Brady and go, all right, maybe we are better without him because of the guy that's playing is playing well.
Yeah, especially you. Like, I remember seeing girls. Like in my high school, like they went to my high school, they would break up with a guy and they would date another guy. They would have a full on like huge relationship with another guy the next day. Like, you bridged from Tom Brady, a 20-year love affair, and boy, I swear, you dropped him like a bad habit, and now you're dressing like him. You're... I mean, I don't even know who Wiggy is anymore.
Well, listen, I didn't drop Brady. I just, you know what? I had to wake up one morning and go, he is gone. And
he's not coming back.
He's not coming back. But guess what? I really do love my new stepmom. She's amazing.
But what, Christian, what you've seen from him so far, is it different than what you expected?
Well, I can tell you what, like, I knew he was, like, we haven't seen him in a while, and it was hard to kind of get a grasp of what he would be like. Would you see any of the old Cam Newton, you know, because the guy, like, just basically takes over games. Like, he's a one-man wrecking crew, and that's what I remember of him from college and then in the pros, his MVP year, or even the year he went to the Super Bowl. He takes over games. And I just didn't know if he would be able to personally do that on his own. But that's what he does. It's almost like, you know, he's the best guy on a really crappy team. You just keep feeding him the ball and let everybody else get out of the way. Like Pop Warner days, there's always one guy that's head and shoulders better than everybody else. And you walk up to the field and you go, oh, there's the stud everybody was talking about. Right. And then he proves you right. I'm not saying that the other guys aren't valuable, mm-hmm. but it's evident to me more than ever how important Cam Newton is to this team and how imperative it is for him to stay healthy. Because with him, they have a shot. Now, I think they have an outside shot. I still think they'll make the playoffs at like an 8-8, 9-7. But I think they're a playoff team. So they're not an elite team.
So if you feel like with Cam Newton, you have a shot because he's showing us that, you know, hey, this guy is a top 10 quarterback. Why wouldn't you then keep this guy around?
But doesn't it
just make sense?
Didn't Teddy Bruschi, didn't Teddy kind of, you know, slap some sense into you
no,
yesterday?
No, 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 because
we had Teddy on. But
it sounds, what he said doesn't make sense, because what ends up happening is if you let Cam do what he does till the end of the year, now the price tag that you're looking at Cam is, it's through the roof.
Yeah, but you guys both, you both played for Bill. He's not somebody who goes out and gives a guy an extension after two games. I mean, it's not going to happen.
And then, Greg, this whole thing about this, you know, then his contract is, he's worth is through the roof. Okay, then it's through the roof.
Right.
Goodbye.
That's like, right. Goodbye. Like, so you're right back in this.
That's fine.
But goodbye.
And then they'll figure it out. Like, I would say, if anything, if we've learned anything, mm-hmm. is that if you give Bill enough time, he'll figure it out. Like,
come
he'll
on,
figure
Christian.
It out.
No way.
Like, he'll figure it out. Like, what? He always does. Like, I mean, Cam Newton, nobody else signed him. He obviously knew what he was doing.
Genius.
He kind of was patient. He understood and I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to read the market. If you can read the market, then you'll be ahead of the game. I think they're better than anybody. Like, if you want to judge, like, whether or not they can judge, like, you know, develop wide receivers, that's another discussion. But as far as, like, overpaying for guys, you know, jumping in too soon, like, they don't do it. Like, you know they don't do it.
So,
he makes $30 million, but it'll be with Jacksonville.
Right. Christian, I'm going to ask this question just to get Curtis triggered.
Hi.
At what point, if any, during this season, could you say that Bill's system, the system here, may have been the key factor in the success that Tom Brady and these teams over the last 19 years have had, and that it wasn't necessarily all the greatest quarterback in the history of the game?
But what I'll say is this, like, it's just the overall environment in that building is first rate. Like, if you go to successful Fortune 500 companies and you see their operating procedures and you see, you know, their management, you know, skills and their philosophy on getting work done, and then you see their stock price and you go, wow, this is a very well-run business. Like, everybody knows what they're supposed to do. To me, that's the difference that I see with them. Overall, the business, everything makes sense. There's a reason for it. Like, they challenge you the right way. Forget about Bill and his ability to have, you know, clock management. That's game day mechanics. I'm talking about overall business structure. When you walk into that building, you know you're in a good business environment. You go to these other teams like I've been on and Wiggy's been on, I know right away I'm in trouble. They don't get it. Like, right away. Like, instantly. Joe Gibbs didn't get it. Dennis Erickson didn't get it. Mike Holmgren got it. John Fox got it for the most part, but wasn't elite, but he understood what it took. Like, to me, that's the difference between the Patriots organization and other organizations. And then if you look through the NFL, you'll see teams that routinely, even though they go through different quarterbacks and different draft picks, their coach stays the same, their general manager stays the same, the ownership philosophy stays the same. I'm talking teams like Baltimore, Seattle, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Patriots. They stay the same.
Do you think Tom Brady is regretting his decision?
I think Gronk is. I think Gronk is sitting there going, damn.
Christian, what's going on with Gronk? Christian, what do you think's happening with him? That is so crazy to me that he's just invisible.
I know. I think he underestimated how long it would take him to get in football shape. Like, how difficult that is to be out of it, even when you leave healthy somewhat, and then try to come back and play football again. I feel like he's slow. I feel like he's skinny. I would say that he was losing a step when he was here. Like, even when he was here, the last year he was here, there was a lot of issues that I saw, just getting jammed at the line of scrimmage, being punked by linebackers when he's trying to make an out cut, like, just, you know, not being able to keep his feet. I mean, he still made unbelievable plays, but you could tell that there was some wear and tear that had finally caught up to him. And then I would say, again, the Patriots, knowing that he's a badass, kind of didn't value him the same way that he valued himself. And that's always the problem. We all value ourselves, have a greater opinion of ourselves than the coaches do. And there's where their negotiations go awry, and that's why everybody gets pissed off. Like, I know I'm a badass, but the coach says, no, you're not. And then they say, well, screw you, I'm going home. And then they go, okay, and they find somebody else.
Well, do you think Gronk will survive the season? Or do you think he's just going to quit?
I think he's got too much pride. Right. It'd be really embarrassing to kind of go out there, come back, and then just say it was like, you know, you're not going to play because you're not getting what you want, and you're not being involved, and you're not getting the ball. Like, as far as the pecking order on that team, I feel like he's third or fourth in line.
He's probably even lower than that. It doesn't help when your head coach goes, we're not going to throw the ball to our tight end 50 times. That's why we have wide receivers. And it's like, if you're a tight end and you're in that offense, you're going, what the hell did I sign up for? Brady, you should have went to Kansas City or something, or even New Orleans where Sean Payton's going to get me involved. I think that's part of it, too. Has he lost a step? Probably so. But when your coach doesn't get you involved, doesn't matter.
Yeah. In one way, I love Bruce Arians. And the other way, I hate him. Like, I'm not really sure. Like, as a player, I think I'd be like, damn, like, this guy's a jerk. And then the other hand, I'm like, well, at least he's being honest. So what are you supposed to do? And I know what to expect. I'm not getting the ball 50 times. He's not going to throw it to me.
So, Pat's favored Sunday. What are your concerns, if any, going into this game?
I'm going to call that they're going to lose this game.
Wow. Really? Huh?
Yeah, I think they're going to lose this game. I think this is obviously my personal opinion, but I think the Raiders aren't necessarily as explosive and have big playability as the Seahawks, but I think they can be just as productive. I wouldn't be messing around. I think that this is going to be one of those games where the Raiders overachieve and they outlive our expectations, and they don't do Raider stuff, which is, you know, having one good game, two good games, and then having a stinker, right? Oh, you know, and they use the built-in excuse of like, oh, we're traveling all the way to the East Coast. Oh, we just played on Monday night. No, I think they actually use it as motivation. Hey, look, we're 6-point underdogs. Are you kidding me? We're 2-0. We just beat the freaking Saints, and nobody thinks we're going to win. Yeah, I think they come in to beat them. I think the Patriots are due for okay, so we can't use a moral victory Monday, right? So I don't know what Monday is going to be like. It's going to be like, oh, we feel like crap Mondays. It's just a normal losing Monday now.
Well,
right?
did you feel like Brewski felt because you played down there that you guys would have never essentially celebrated that loss Sunday night like fans did and maybe some of the players did?
Yeah, I would say I'm 100%. Now, that's why it was kind of comical to me how the response that we were getting with everybody. And, like, they had a chance to win it, and they screwed it up. Like, why is it that they just so I feel like they screwed it up. Their front side blocking sucked. I mean, Cam should have bounced it out. But, oh, you know what? He's new. Let's give him some excuses. Like, no. Like, but now you'll never give him a pass ever again. He admitted that he should have bounced it out. He made the wrong decision. Like, if Tom Brady comes up and says that, it's like, oh, you know what? Oh, this is unbelievable. We should have made that throw. Yet why should we think any differently for Cam? I don't know. Like, the dude is doing everything right. Everybody loves him, and so do I. Mm-hmm. But okay, enough already. Like, can we get back to being Bostonians and hating everybody and feeling guilty and holding a grudge? Can we get back to that?
Technically, Christian, if you go back and you look at the All-22, he didn't make the wrong decision. The left tight end who was being played by number 71, I don't know how to say his last name, completely whiffed on his block, and that's what took the hole away from Cam, because Cam was running to the right hole, and he missed on his block, and that's why they were able to get penetration.
Don't All-22 me.
I'm telling you, go back and look at it. I got to pull a Matt Chatham on my back pocket. You're going after Cam. I got to pull a Matt Chatham on my pocket.
It's sickening.
Wicker just talked about Cam, and he mentioned penetration in the wrong hole.
His obsession is sickening.
I just want to make sure, because I got to pull a Matt Chatham. If you go back and look at the film, number 71 gets absolutely whooped.
How many times does a play work out perfectly? Like, where everybody gets their block.
Yeah, I understand
everybody does
that.
The right thing.
But what you know, Christian.
So chaos happens. It's chaotic.
Right.
Hey, we got to adjust. Bounce the ball outside, Cam Newton. I'm sorry.
Right, but like, Christian, Christian, you know, I know you weren't at the point of attack that often, but when you did have a when you did get there, you know, if you get beat that badly, the whole play is jacked up. And so it's one thing.
Listen, first of all, that never happened ever. The only thing that you know better than I do, the only like scarlet letter that I'm carrying around is that Mike freaking Vrabel was catching our touchdowns. That's really the only thing you can ever use against. That's all right. It. Nothing else.
Well. I'm glad you came on this morning. I'm sure, in addition to football, I'm sure some Celtics talk this afternoon on the show, correct?
Yeah, well, you know what? I didn't see how it ended. What happened? Did they win?
Yeah, they won. They won, all right.
All right. Christian, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
See
you guys.
Later.
There you have Foyer on football.
I had to pull Matt Chatham because I looked at the tape, and it actually was, there was a hole there, but the left tight end, which was being played by number 71, completely gets whooped on the run blocking scheme and allows penetration, and that's why Cam's not able. That's why he gets cut down. He's not able to even bounce it out.
On Wenyu, the rookie tackle they put over there.
That's it, number 71, a Wenyu. Mm-hmm.
But you know, I hear people now saying that was the complete wrong play call. And
no.
They knew what was coming.
And Christian will tell you his plays the same way Teddy will tell you his plays. In that situation, it's, you know, you got 1 yard to go. We know where we're running the football. We know who's getting it. You know who's getting it. And now we're going to see who's the biggest dog on the yard.
Bring in the heavies.
That's it.
Right?
You know, and we're running right at you. Can you stop it?
Yeah.
And they ultimately did.
Is that what you tell the waiter?
No, that's what they say when I walk into the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring
that's
in
right.
the heavies.
They bring in a steak.
Scan
and
the QR
only
code.
Six to a table. So make sure it's only six to a table.
Correct.
They bring in that giant steak and they say, Greg, can you eat the whole thing? And you know, hey, it's either the steak or me.
I don't think I have ever seen a local media member gush over an athlete like I have the first 2 weeks of Cam and Wiggy.
Yeah.
It is an
Cam and Stan, you mean?
Cam and Stan.
Cam and Stan.
You have a quarterback. We've gushed over Tom Brady for a number of years when he was successful, and you knew.
You've had three wardrobe changes this morning alone.
No. Hey, well, listen, I'm basing it off of what I see.
I understand. You're enthused. You're excited.
As opposed to what are we reacting to?
He's the third best quarterback in the AFC.
I'm basing it off of what I see.
Yeah, well, that's what you got to do, right?
Well, that's what everybody's doing.
We make our opinions. Why are all these people, right, that are going, oh, it's Bill and this, that, and the other, and he could do this and he could do that with the quarterback and all? Where were they when Stidham was supposed to be the quarterback? Why weren't they going to be, oh, this team's fine. They'll go 10-6. They're going to be 11-5.
There were people that said that, Glenn.
Getting Liddy for Stiddy.
Glenn is the only person on that board.
Fitzy.
Glenn is the only person on that board that really was drinking that Kool-Aid about Stidham. The reason why Bill is working well is because he has a legit franchise quarterback.
Wiggy wants to be Cato Kalen to Cam Newton's OJ. Like, he wants to live on the property.
I don't know about that one, though.
Where's Cam Newton?
Turn out well for Cato.
Do we know where he's living?
Greenwich, I heard.
No,
he's got a house in Connecticut.
Is he renting Brady's place in Brookline? That thing, that dinosaur hasn't sold yet.
I think
yet,
that's
right?
A little big, though. It might be a little pricey.
Yeah, how's the realtor you had there that was breaking all the news?
I don't think they've sold that place yet.
Cam ain't making that much money this year.
That's a pretty pricey. big mortgage to be carrying for the Brady's.
Retirement home. He'll come back to the area.
Cam will have the money for it after the year, though.
Yeah,
he will.
Probably will. All right. Cam Newton will, of course, join us Monday morning on this show. Tomorrow, Patriots Friday with Julian Edelman and Jason McCourty. And a reminder that if you cannot listen to this show tomorrow, today, this station today, tomorrow, this weekend on the radio, you can always stream us at WEEI.com or you can download the radio.com app and take us wherever you are. And it's really easy. And in fact, if you text the letters APP to the text line, which is 37937, you can download our radio.com app for free right there. Here is Ken and what is trending this morning.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick joins Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier every Monday afternoon. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Arbella Insurance. Switch to Arbella and combine your home and auto insurance and save 20% or more. Arbella here for New England fans, here for good. Sam Kennedy, we're going to join us for our Red Sox front office report coming up here shortly, so I will keep it brief. Here is the Arians quote about Rob Gronkowski that is making the rounds after yesterday, though. You guys talked about Gronk there a bit. This was not exactly flattering praise about the tight end.
I don't see him running 40 yards past people anymore. If we get him press coverage, hopefully he can, but... We brought him in to just play tight end. And if that means no catches, that means no catches. I mean, 10 catches, I mean, 10 catches because he's open, and that's where the ball goes. But we just fortified a room that with a veteran player, like we did with A.Q. Shipley.
Wow. Fortified a room. It's just Brady's pet. Right. I mean, he just came out and said, Brady wanted him here, so I brought him.
I would have walked into Bruce Arians' office like, bro, here's your playbook. I'm out, man. Ain't come here to catches.
Here's the playbook I had for 10 months before the season started.
Ain't come here to all that. If I wanted to block, I would have stayed in New England.
The two of them, they must get on the phone with each other, Brady and Gronk, and talk about how much they can't stand that guy. And it's only week three.
Right.
But Fourier's right. Something like Roethlisberger loved Arians, even though Arians would throw him under the bus. To the point where they fired Arians and Roethlisberger saved his job. He demanded that they bring him back. So some players absolutely go to the wall for him.
Well, but that's his thing, right? He calls guys out publicly all the time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Regretting that move, it's Gronk. I bet you Gronk's going, man, I should have went back to New England. I'd have more catches. If Gronk here would be, you know, your second target. If he was here playing in New England.
Well, it's early.
That coach ain't changing.
No?
Nope.
Patriots Wednesday injury report. David Andrews sat out with a hand issue, 4 limited, including N'Keal Harry with an ankle. 1 o'clock Sunday for the Raiders. Celtics in a 3-1 series hole now in the Eastern Finals. The 5 seed, the Miami Heat, took game 4 last night, 112-109. Tyler Hero, the big story, 37 points, 14 of 21 shooting, and 5 threes. They could not stop him.
That's a bad boy, man.
And Jason Tatum, the goose egg in the first half, 19 Celtics
turns. Was lights out. We've discussed this ad nauseum this morning, but... You got to find a solution. If you're Brad Stevens last night, you got to find a way to stop him.
Yeah, you think?
We'll see if they can do it Friday. Game 5, Friday night, 8:30.
Well, we'll see if they can limit the turnovers to under 19 as well on Friday night.
Absolutely. And the Red Sox tonight at 7:30 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network. They won it 9-1 last night. It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
As requested, Ken Laird, a little blood, sweat, and tears. I don't know. We don't have time because we're about to get to the Red Sox front office report, but we should address that Rolling Stone has redone their top 500 albums of all time list at some point on the show this morning.
Wiggy should be thrilled.
I am thrilled. I'm happy.
Wiggy was really excited about this.
A lot of my honest.
On the text chain yesterday. So
a lot of my honest.
At some point, we can address that this morning. Time now, though, for the final Red Sox front office report of this season, and it's brought to you by Zenni, the official eyewear of the Boston Red Sox, Major League style at minor league prices. Visit Zenni.com for more information. Sam Kennedy, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
How are you doing?
Well, we're hanging in there. It's incredibly that it's the last front office report of the season. That's amazing. We're just hitting our stride.
If only there were another 60 games.
We're hoping that if we could play 162, maybe these trends would continue. But you know what? We're getting here to the end here and starting to look forward to next year. Obviously, it's been a grind. So appreciate everybody's patience with us and better days ahead.
Once Mookie was traded, did you guys internally acknowledge that this was going to be a rebuild?
No, we didn't, because we didn't anticipate all of the other challenges that we've had in terms of either health or lack of performance. We did not see it as waving the white flag on the season. We certainly acknowledge that when you move on from Mookie Betts in favor of adding future value clearly to the Red Sox, that it was going to be a challenge. But we did not anticipate the results that we've had. It's been frustrating, but it was a difficult decision. But we'll see what the results look like longer term.
Our own Lou Merlone reported that Alex Cora would like to return. Can you confirm that? And B, when was the last time that you spoke with him?
No, you know, Alex is obviously serving a suspension from Major League Baseball for what happened in 2017 in Houston. Ron's done a tremendous job, and that's all I'll say about that. And we're focused on trying to get through the end of the year here, and really, I should say, Ron has done an amazing job. He's been dealt a very difficult hand in terms of what's gone on this year, and we're very appreciative of that.
Why do you think, Sam, that when you look at the other teams around here, you know, and I think one of the teams that we look at, the Celtics, and it seems like you know, front office-wise, standards are held at a different level. Why is it that it seems like with the Red Sox, your standards are held at a lot higher in regard to being successful and winning compared to other organizations where, hey, if things are not going well, you guys don't have a problem with switching it up?
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. I mean, look, our fans in this market, Wiggy, you know better than anybody growing up here. It's just so much passion for all of our teams. I mean, I know the sky is falling on the Celtics right now, but like, let's remember, this series isn't over yet. So it's a reflection of just how passionate the market is. It really is a good thing. You can work in sports and other markets around the country, but this is where you want to be. There's just so much passion, and we are held to the highest of high standards, as we should be, because the fans give so much to their teams in this market. And, you know, we've had a great 20-year run, 22-year run, whatever it's been, since you guys started the trend back in 2001, 2002. So anything short of a championship is understandably viewed as a failure, not reaching the ultimate goal. So we got really, really high standards with all the teams. But that's a good thing, because it keeps everybody accountable.
When it comes to being unsure about what revenue might look like next season, does that mean internally that, you know, you're going to be, your hands are going to be held, I guess, for lack of a better way to say it, when it comes to going out and signing a big name free agent or spending money that you need to spend?
That's a great question. I truly, truly don't know what the market is going to look like this offseason. When I say the market, I mean the free agent market. I do know that the Red Sox will continue to have among the highest payrolls in all of baseball. We obviously did this year, and you know, it certainly didn't help us in terms of the results on the field. So but the commitment to spending in terms of where we stack up against our competitors in baseball will be there. But I don't know what the market will look like, number one. And number two, yeah, there are some economic realities associated with this pandemic. I mean, what a unmitigated disaster for our country and our city and for some industry. And we're in the industry and professional sports and public gathering that have been hit the worst. We're really hopeful that the Patriots will be able to get some fans into Gillette. So as we look into 2021, we hopefully can bring some fans back. I don't know what that may or may not look like, but it's really important to be able to generate some revenue and continue to invest in the team. But regardless of that, we will have a high payroll and continue to invest. Our fans deserve that. And we're building. You know, Chaim Bloom was brought in to build a consistent winner. And those steps have begun. You don't see the results on the field at the major league level right now, but we are starting to see some positive signs for the future.
Speaking of that, Sam, you've had a couple good starts from Tanner Houck and Nick Pivetta in his debut. How do you view the starting rotation heading into the offseason? Will you be in the market for a bigger ticket addition as far as a starter goes?
Well, we've been in baseball since the early 1990s, and you know, there's that old saying, deep depth. You'd love to come into spring training with, you know, not just five starting pitchers, but six, seven, eight, nine options. And if you combine, hopefully, you know, look, Tanner and Nick have looked great the last couple of nights, but we got to get healthy. We got to get Chris Sale back and Eddie Rodriguez back and Eovaldi, and we've obviously got an option with Martin Perez. So those are some important names. But will we be in the market with respect to free agents, with respect to pitching? Yeah, we're always looking for ways to improve the team. And so I'm excited to get into the offseason. Obviously, I can't guess what will or will not happen based upon how other teams behave. But pitching is an area of focus for the Boston Red Sox as we go forward, absolutely.
But you expect, or what you're hearing anyway when it comes to Chris Sale, is that he's back and healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, the problem with Tommy John is you wish it was a nice, clean sort of one off season. You know, depending upon how he responds, I know he's doing well and ahead of schedule, but it's too early to say based upon his rehab when exactly he'd come back, whether it's, you know, opening day or a little bit later in the season. So not sure on a timetable for him. The good news is typically when pitchers come back from that injury, they've demonstrated an ability to be even better than they were before, so it's hard to be patient, but we do anticipate him back in 2021 at some point, hopefully earlier rather than later.
Sam, do you guys anticipate raising ticket prices next season? And the other question I would ask is, why haven't we heard at all from John Henry throughout the course of this season, which is, most people would admit, has been as historically bad as we've seen under this ownership group?
Yeah, well, I guess I'll take the questions in the order you asked them. We have no plans with respect to ticketing yet. We don't even know if we're going to be in a position to be welcoming fans back to Fenway. I think we have a important decision over the next couple of months to decide, you know, what that looks like, and we're going to have to consult with the state and the city and Major League Baseball. So I don't know what 2021 ticketing will look like, but we certainly are hoping that we're able to be in a position to sell tickets. No decisions with respect to pricing one way or the other, but we understand coming off an incredibly difficult season and where things stand, we want to be measured and cautious on that front. But again, it's too early to tell because we just don't even know what we're going to be allowed to do. And with respect to John Henry and our ownership group, you know, I think that our ownership, they hire people in the front office to do sort of the day to day. John and Tom are very active in every aspect of the Red Sox operations, from the baseball, from our community work to our business activities. But they also have this larger enterprise, Fenway Sports Group, and have multiple businesses, whether it's a soccer team or a NASCAR team or real estate development company. So there's a lot of different elements to Fenway Sports Group that they're engaged with each and every day. And, you know, speaking in public with the media is something that John and Tom do, just maybe not at the frequency that maybe some other ownership groups do in the market. I actually haven't studied that much, but we're focused, those of us in management see that as part of our responsibility. And look, John and Tom have provided two decades of stable ownership here in Boston. And I think as a Red Sox fan who grew up here, been a part of this team, grew up a fan, I do think it's been just an incredible 20-year run. And I can tell you that being in meetings with them the last couple of days, that we're as committed to winning and getting that fifth ring and sixth ring and seventh ring as we go forward here. So the commitment's there, and the frequency in terms of public appearances, that's not you know, that's not something that I spend a lot of time worried about or focused on.
Sam, you talked about building this roster and heading into the offseason. Do you prioritize, like, how you're going to build it, whether that's through free agency, whether that's through potential trades, whether that's through possibly guys that are already here, you know, farm system? What's the approach that you take heading into free agency?
Yeah, well, you have to try and improve the team in every single way, and there's a number of different ways to do that. Free agency certainly is one of them, the draft, the international signings, trades. And, you know, you mentioned the improved starting pitching we got the last couple of days. Nick came over via trade and from Philadelphia with Connor Siebold, who now ranks, I think, in the top 25 in our system. Tanner came through our own draft and development. You look at some of the deals that Hyams made, whether it's, you know, Jeter Downs or Jason Rosario, Connor Wong, these guys are now all of a sudden our top ranking prospects in Baseball America. So you can sort of see the early stages of this building towards a consistent, competitive winning team. It's interesting. We've been here for 20 years. We've had some success in terms of championships. One thing we haven't had, and I think it's important to acknowledge this, one thing we haven't had is consistency with respect to winning championships, you know, back-to-back years or being in the postseason, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in a row. That's where we are building. That's where we're headed. And in order to do that, Wiggy, you've got to be hitting on all cylinders with respect to acquiring talent from all different areas. And the good news is in Boston, we have the resources to do that.
How were the TV ratings this season, Sam?
They've been down significantly. You know, obviously, when you have a team that gets off to a bad start, it's understandable. Coupled with the Bruins and the Celtics in postseason runs, ratings have been down. Interest has been down generally, which you would expect and is completely understandable. So it's our job to work towards a better 2021, and that's exactly what we plan to do.
All right. Well, this is it for the season, our final front office report, and we will, I'm sure that Red Sox fans will be anxiously awaiting when it comes to what you guys decide to do, because certainly not the way many of them wanted this season to end up. So,
yeah, appreciate that, guys. Thanks for having us this year, and better days ahead. And it's too bad we had to finish the last Red Sox report without Danielle. She's just one of the only sane and normal people on that.
Well, yeah,
good point.
I mean, she's on vacation, yes. like much of your roster was during this.
Good for her. Probably well deserved. Good to be with you guys. Hang in there. Thank you.
I'm hoping that we're there for opening day. I'm hoping that there is an opening day at Fenway next
should
year.
Should be.
Absolutely. I think we will be. Let's get fans out to Gillette as soon as possible. That'll be the first step in the road to recovery here for the sports and entertainment industry. Really, really important that can become a possibility.
Well, we can't get 10 people right at a table for dinner in Boston. So I don't know.
Or maybe they could just play some games in New Hampshire because you can get fans.
people are so desperate for baseball, they're climbing the Green Monster. All right.
I'd make a comment about that one, but I better not touch it. So good to be with you guys.
All right, Sam.
Thanks, guys.
That is Sam Kennedy, president, CEO of the Boston Red Sox on the Harbor One Hotline. And we'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
But you still ain't calling. I left my cell, my pager, and my home phone at the bottom. I sent 2 letters back in autumn. You must not have got them. There probably was a problem at the post office or something. Sometimes I scribble addresses too sloppy when I jot them. But anyways, what's been up, man? How's your daughter? My girlfriend's pregnant too. I'm about to be a father. If I have a daughter, guess what I'm going to call her? I'm going to name her.
Well, there you go, Wiggy. That's for you. Everybody around here calling.
Great song.
They're calling you Stan.
That's
because,
all right.
Because of your obsessive love for Cam Newton.
I am a fan of Cam Newton, I tell you that.
I think that same dude just broke into or tried to break into Eminem's house again.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago or something.
Saw that.
That he's had that same stalker for years.
Yeah, it's crazy. You better be careful.
Why isn't the guy locked up? The guy should be locked up.
Yeah, because you don't know how to stalk. You got to stalk from a distance.
Did Eminem get adjusted when Rolling Stone redid the top 500 albums of all time?
He probably did. I didn't see him in the top 100. I went through the top 100. They had 500. There's a lot
of
albums.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's too many to go through. But
that was a great album. That was Marshall Mathers.
I'm only about halfway through the readjustment. So Rolling Stone redid their top 500 albums of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggy was very excited about Marvin Gaye being number one.
I thought Michael Jackson would have been higher, the Thriller album.
12th. He was 12th.
He was 12th. Biggie was in the top 25, so I like that.
You thought Michael Jackson, you thought Thriller would have been number one?
I thought it would have been higher. I thought it would have been higher. I mean, like, so number two is the Beach Boys?
Yeah. Oh,
Pet Sounds?
Yeah. Pet Sounds. It was revolutionary.
Yeah, right.
Brian Wilson, when it came to producing it, that was a revolutionary album.
Joni Mitchell was three. She's good. Stevie Wonder four.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Joni Mitchell, very talented. I was never like a folk music guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like folk music, but I can't get into her. I mean, that reminds me of my sister. She used to listen to that when I was a kid. My older sister was like, well, who is this screeching in the background?
My old man was into the Kingston Trio, which was really into the Kingston Trio. But, I mean, I guess, I don't know if you're... Is that the kind of thing that you do? That if you're Rolling Stone, you're going to be constantly changing the 500 albums?
I think
of all time?
Yeah. Mm. Which makes sense. There's a lot of newer albums on here that deserve to be on the list.
Where were the Proclaimers?
I thought, you know, Lauryn Hill's 10, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill was a good album, but.
What about Slipknot?
I think that Michael Jackson Thriller album was just. I think it changed the game.
Speaking of Michael Jackson.
Every day he has to mention Michael Jackson.
Oh, he loves Michael Jackson and Cam Newton.
Talented.
Those are.
But unfortunately, if he didn't pass away, think about it. I mean, this guy was singing at 8 years old.
Speaking of Michael Jackson, his cousin has apparently she took an IV
mm-hmm.
from his bedroom after he died.
Right.
And now she is putting it up for auction.
Oh, my God.
Going to get some good
this
money,
is
though.
So disgusting.
She's going to get good money?
Oh, she should probably get a ton of money. You know, these people are weird.
How much
did his glove go for? I think Tracy Morgan owns his glove.
Okay, He's a pedophile dirtbag. Why are people selling this guy's stuff?
Yeah, never mind that, though. I get the glove.
Yeah.
But you're selling the bloodstained IV that was in the bedroom when he died?
Yeah, I don't get that one. You know that. Hey, listen, they trying to get on a come up. That's all it is.
Her name is Marsha
Jackson,
and here she is talking about that.
Shortly after Michael died, I went to the house. I was able to go in and go to the bedroom. This was over by the stand, and what I did, I took it and put it in my purse. This actually belonged with Michael Jackson. It had some white, like milk fluid inside of it, which later on dissolved. But this is actually Michael right here, DNA. That's what made me grab it, the blood. And this is one of the IVs, the last one actually, that he had in his arm when he died.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy.
I mean,
but usually it is crazy ass family members like that do stuff like that.
Yes, it is. Who needs enemies when you have family, right? Or however that saying.
This reminds me of when Mistress Carey sold your spittoon from WAAM after the last show.
That's just weird.
I just...
Upstairs Joe bought two.
What's stranger, though? Her selling it or the person who will buy it?
Both people have karma coming back at them in a big way.
Yeah, no, I understand
I guess maybe it's the person who's going to buy it.
Right.
She's hoping to get $2,500 for
what?
It. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Like, I could, see, even though I don't agree with it, I could see like people are always trying to make a quick come up. They're always trying to get paid off of something. So I gotta understand, but there's a person out there that's actually gonna buy that.
I understand people who buy morbid, presidential related memorabilia. Like here in Boston, I think last week they just sold a lock of Abe Lincoln's hair, which went for a considerable amount of money. I think it was like 80 grand or 90 grand or something. I can understand that. Did you see the guy that was in the news day before yesterday because he kept a half-eaten sandwich from Richard Nixon for 60 years, and he just celebrated the birthday of the sandwich.
Wow.
He kept it in his refrigerator. He was a kid when Richard Nixon ate some kind of a barbecue, I think it was a barbecue buffalo sandwich, and he only wanted half of the sandwich, so the kid stole it and kept it in his fridge for 60 years. I mean,
didn't Elvis had some crazy stuff that was.
Yeah, people sell, but I don't think they sell. There are people like Jonathan Davis, the lead singer of Korn, one of your favorite bands, Curtis.
Oh, yeah.
Is a serial killer.
You like Korn on the cob or cut off?
He's a serial killer memorabilia collector. And so there are people who are morbid and collect that kind of stuff.
Who's the most famous person you've ever met?
Me?
Yeah, and would you keep something from them?
How do you define that? I mean,
it's simple.
How would you, Bill Clinton? If you had
George, Bill Clinton's.
I met 41 and 43.
Keep like an item of theirs just to say, tell stories to the family? I met Bill Clinton.
You've never met a huge celebrity? I met Denzel Washington.
Whoa. Yeah.
So hung out with Denzel.
Didn't steal his sandwich. You didn't ask him for his gum.
I would have met Michael Jordan and hung out with him, but my wife was taking forever to get dressed.
We could do an old Dino segment.
That's a different story.
Most famous guy in your phone. Everybody go.
Wait,
can I ask you a question about Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Why is Gary Glitter banned from ever being played again?
It's not. It was in the Batman movie.
Yeah, it was.
The Joker.
Was in the Joker.
And Michael Jackson is still celebrated and played on our own radio stations within our cluster. I don't get it.
Because I don't think Michael Jackson was it goes back to this weird thing. Michael Jackson.
Oh, you're going to say never convicted.
Yes, that's the problem.
Do you think Michael Jackson was a pedophile?
That's like Bill Clinton.
I think Michael Jackson
never convicted.
I think Michael Jackson was very strange. I wonder why you're hanging out with 12-year-olds and you're 30 years old. There's something wrong there. Now, I know people say, he never had a childhood, but there's something wrong when you're running around with, 11 and 12-year-olds and pet monkeys.
Hey, I was 50 years old and hanging out with 12-year-old girls on Pedophile Island. All those names are coming out, by the way. Have you seen that?
Oh, the second, yeah.
Yep, the flight logs.
Every single name that is on the Epstein flight logs is about to be released.
Want to take a reckless guess as to who's on there?
I think there's going to be a lot of people on there. I know Bill Gates is on there.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Tucker.
But
Bill Clinton.
Ron Reneke is on there, which I thought was strange.
So these are all
who's
people that went,
job,
went and partied with him at his island?
Yes. They flew on the Lolita Express.
Now that would be a primetime show. If somebody could do that and unveil three names a night for a week, that would be high ratings.
Absolutely. I guess this is maybe some kind of an October surprise or something. Is that what we're to guess?
I'm just praying Fauci's not in this list. I mean, please.
Ooh, Fauci's on the cover of Time magazine.
Because you heard what he said. He said that he's cautiously optimistic that they will have a vaccine that'll be FDA approved by the end of November.
By the end of November?
Yeah, that's what he said. I think it was the end of November. End of November, December area is what he said. Do you think though that with Jeffrey Epstein, right? I always wonder about this question, because it comes up with Harvey Weinstein and people like that. Do you think everybody that hung out with him or were on this whatever you're saying
on his plane?
Yeah, knew. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I would assume that if you're getting on a dude's plane and he's got an orgy room in the back. And there's a bunch of 16-year-old, 17-year-old girls on the plane. You think something is a little fishy.
So basically every name
I'll tell you what wasn't fishy. The clam chowder. He had great clam chowder on that plane.
So have a good time. So you believe basically anybody who got on that, who had come in contact with being on this plane, I guess, had to be aware.
How do you come in contact with people? Yeah,
I don't know.
On a private jet, you know who owns it.
I don't really know
about
the Jeffrey Epstein story.
Maybe he said, hey, hop on the plane. We're going to go to my island. And nobody, maybe they didn't understand what was going on. I don't know.
Epstein didn't kill himself.
Possible.
Because the reason why I bring that up is because Darren Schiappa was my locker mate and sat right next to me.
Woo.
And I hung out with him, and I would have never known that he was drugging and raping girls.
Let me ask you this. Did you know what was going to go on the Vikings cruise?
No, because I wasn't on them. So how would I know what's going on? How would I know something that's happening when I have no idea what...
I got to give Wiggy credit. This is the biggest male deny that has ever gone on in the history of deny. Mrs. Wiggins still believes that he wasn't on that boat.
She does?
No,
yes, she does.
But
he's going to deny it. Are you going to do a deathbed? Are you going to do one of those deathbed confessions on this? Mrs. Wiggins?
I'm going to have the guy that does it for $10,000. You know, Wiggy, get my secrets out at my obituary.
Did you and Fred Smoot do like a pinky swear with one another?
No, I mean, listen, I went around for that, so that's I don't know what you're talking about.
A lot of reports.
Yeah, it's a lot of, but my name has never been in any of those reports.
Au contraire.
Oh, hey, no, you can't. My name has never been in there. You won't find that.
Here's a text for you, lifeguard. Listen to Wiggy backing up everything Fauci says now, because he said there's a vaccine coming in November.
No, I just said, you said, where has he been? And he's been all over the news. So usually he comes out when he's trying to get that dope. And what better way to come out now?
This is Heather. Hello, Heather.
Hey.
What's up?
So I got to talk about Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
There is no proof whatsoever. I mean, you guys always talk about R. Kelly and all the crap that was found about him to prove that he did what he did. There was never anything found. That guy's house and his body was searched, and nothing was found. Michael Jackson did absolutely nothing inappropriate other than support and give money to kids who were underprivileged, and when he found they were taking advantage of him, he cut them off, and then their parents made up stories to get money out of them.
I mean, kind of weird when you sleep in the same bed with them, no?
30 nights in a row, he slept with a 13-year-old in the same bed.
No, he slept on the floor with another adult. Do I agree
that
what he did probably wasn't good? Absolutely.
Why are you defending him, Heather?
His music is
good. I mean, listen.
I'm gonna defend him. I'm sorry, but there was no proof that anything.
Do you have any kids,
done.
Heather?
No, I don't.
Okay, never mind.
So, I mean,
he was gonna say, would you let Michael Jackson babysit your kids?
Couldn't he like worn pajamas or something? I mean, isn't it weird to like sleep in your BVDs with a 13-year-old kid?
I would think if you're that stuffed and you're that loaded, you would have like a kid's sleep playroom where they could go sleep and you.
He did. He had a whole Neverland ranch.
Yeah, I know, but it would be a separate playroom.
There's 40 bedrooms.
Right.
And the two of them, Curtis is right, they're sleeping in the same bed for 30 nights. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, you don't need to be sleeping. You want to hang out with kids, you can't sleep in the same bed with them.
But Curtis, you're not advocating for cancel culture when it comes to his music. I mean, it's okay to enjoy his music, isn't it?
I think that it should be one rule for that.
You want Gary Glitter back. That's what you're saying.
I could give two craps. I don't even know anything about him. All I know, I don't know if you realize I don't know anything about music, but the fact of the matter is that people play Michael Jackson's music because they love the music.
Right.
And yet they have this moral outrage at other people that they don't want in their life anyway.
Yeah.
Do you have your passport? Did you get your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America? America.
I think the biggest travesty of this whole pandemic is that R. Kelly has not been released from jail.
He's trying to get out because
of the coronavirus.
Right, he's trying to get out.
And Ghislaine Maxwell, the two of them, they can't buy a break. And
Trump hasn't pardoned him yet. I mean,
no,
what the hell?
And he said they're trying to kill him in there. You know, he got beat up.
Interesting note on the show today. We've had more people call in and defend Michael Jackson than can call in and defend the Red Sox.
All right. Speaking of the pandemic, we're going to play our new game. Pandemic, or as some call it, pendemic, for a fabulous WEEI pen. If you can beat Wiggy, you're going to win. So call now, 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. And we will let you play Pandemic coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.